This episode, we're going to be talking about the Rockets going 2-0 and beating the Raptors, open practice, and a preview of the Rockets game against the Heat on Monday. So stay tuned. And welcome back to another episode of Brido and Will. I'm your first host, Will. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Bias Houston. We started doing the spaces up again. Now the season's back around. You can go over there, get all the Rockets, Houston sports content aggregation, whatever you need. We got you covered over there. Quick shout out to Brido and Will on Instagram and Twitter. Make sure you guys tap in over there. We just made our TikTok account. So make sure if you're on TikTok, you tap in. With that, and then make sure you like, subscribe, and leave a comment under this new YouTube channel. We're still trying to grow it, still trying to get our following back up to where it was. So appreciate you guys for all the support you got to show on that end. But without further ado, what's up, Brad?
What's up, man? It's good to see Will this week. We all came down for the open practice. We're gonna get into that as I mentioned in the intro. But as always, I'm Brad of NBA. You catch me on Instagram and Twitter with that handle. As for today's episode, we're gonna be talking about this last Rockets game against the Raptors. No Şengün, no Jabari, no Eric Gordon. So we didn't know what to expect. We'll tweet out before the game. He wanted his refund. And Stone's wife commented, yeah, there's no refunds for this game. And I can see why. You know, the Rockets, they came out and they look good. I didn't expect them to look this good against that Raptors team. And I'm excited to see them come out playing like this. And we're going to get into the minor details of how they came out looking that good. But Will, what stood out the most for you in that game? And then I'll get into kind of what stood out for me.
What stood out the most to me is that Nick Nurse should not be allowed to run a rotation full of 6'8 plus players. I'm going to read out the bench that they played, bro.
Yeah, please
they
do.
They played Chris Boucher, who is my Apple low looking up.
I know he has a 7'4 wingspan, doesn't he?
6'9 Chris Boucher. Presses Achiuwa, that's how you say that, who's 6'8. Thad Young, who is 6'8.
Yeah.
Delano Benton, I think he's actually 6'7. Yeah, Delano Benton's 6'7, but 6'8, 6'7, same thing. That was their bench. And then they had, of course, Scotty Barnes, Pascal Siakam, Christian Coloco, OG Anunoby. I think the smallest player they played was Gary Trent Jr. at 6'5, which is insane. I think Nick Nurse should definitely not be allowed to do that. But it didn't matter. I said on the last podcast last week that what I was interested in seeing, I mean, it is still just preseason, right? But what I was interested in seeing is how the Rockets played against a team that had playoff aspirations. The Spurs we whooped up on last Sunday, they don't care. They, as a matter of fact, I think more than anybody else this season, they want to be the worst team in the NBA. And they were missing two of their best players anyways, that and Keldon Johnson and Josh Primo. So it wasn't really supposed to be a fair fight anyways. And I think the fact that we blew them out was supposed to happen. So I want to see what we're going to do against a team that did not want to be in the 1BC space, that wants to be in the postseason this year. And, I mean, if nothing else, we saw how hard this team, how hard their defense was, the full court press they showed us last season. Y'all remember when Jalen Green was on that 30-point per game tear and Nick Nurse shut that down? Like, this is a good defensive team. And like I said, I know it is just preseason, but they were trying. They were full court pressing in preseason. Scotty Barnes was picking up KPJ almost full court. I forgot who was guarding Jalen, but they weren't letting Jalen get open looks either. Like I said, they were running guys who were 6'8 plus. And I mean, without Jabari Smith and Şengün, we were down two of our tallest players. So just about every position we played on Friday, I think we were the smaller, we had the smaller players. So it was definitely a, it wasn't an easy game. It wasn't a free win. They had to fight for it. And to my surprise, they still, even despite the fact that I think Toronto is a better team with better aspirations, they looked like they belonged, and they ended up winning the game. They won by, I believe, it was like 16. I think that's what the final score is. Yeah, six. They won by 16 at the end. Sure. And so, yeah, I mean, it was interesting to see how they were able to play that way. I know Fred VanVleet did not play, but we didn't have Eric Gordon, Jabari Smith, or Şengün. So three of our starters were down, and we still looked like a really competent team. So I'll pass off by saying this. I mean, credit to Stephen Silas and what's the assistant coach? I'm drawing a blank here.
Lionel Hollins.
No. Who took over for us on Friday?
Oh, John Lucas.
Yeah, John Lucas. I don't know what to miss. Yeah. Shout out to Stephen Silas, John Lucas, Lonhouse, all those guys, the coaching staff, for how they've had this team looking prepared to start the season. Because, I mean, we're two games in. We're 2-0 right now. And in both games, we look like one of the better team. We won. And we've looked like not only did we belong, but, like, that we are here. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out for, on Monday against the evening going into the regular season.
Yeah, I'll say this. What stood out to most for me, at least, you know, all those guys missing action, I was just curious to see who they're going to start at the three. There was a spot for Garrison Matthews to start at the three, but thankfully they went with KJ Martin. And I think he's been one of the bright spots of this preseason. He's really played well on Twitter recently. He's shooting 40% from three right now. He's always been high energy, and he's came in playing high energy so far. And, you know, with all the drama that happened in the offseason, in these first two preseason games, nobody's played more minutes in the Rockets than KJ Martin. So they're giving him an opportunity to prove that he wants those minutes, or that he can earn those minutes that he wants. Supposedly more than last season. And Will, you correct me if I'm wrong, I want to say he got around 21 minutes last year. But there's a role for him. Yeah, there's a role for him to somehow get more than 21 minutes this year. And he's proving that he's deserving of those minutes. He's a huge plus. He had the highest plus minus in that Raptors game. And again, he's just everywhere on the court. And his pairing with Tari Eason, two guys that get a ton of offensive rebounds, is going to help the Rockets a lot. And those two guys on the court at the same time, they need to maximize their time together. It's very fun. Next time you watch the Rockets and really watch when those two are on the court together, it's a huge difference. They play that much better. But yeah, KJ stood out the most for me outside of Tari, who's just been amazing in this entire preseason. Star of the team right now. He's blown it away right now in the preseason. Five offensive rebounds in both games. One of those guys that just does the little things. That's every basketball team needs one of those guys. Now the Rockets, I feel like, have almost three of those guys with him, Jayshon Tate, and KJ Martin. So Tari just being able to go out there and score a point per minute so far, which is third in the NBA in the preseason right now, without having a play ran for him, is really absurd to me. 17th pick in the draft, still knocked it out the park with Tari. He's just a joy to watch. Yeah, he's running the floor, doing everything, getting steals, throwing lobs to Jalen. If you could throw a lob to Jalen alone, that's going to win over the fan base. So Tari, he's been playing amazing. And another quick thing I'll note, and before I do, actually, we'll go to you, then I'll talk about Jalen. But what did you think about Jalen? Slow first game. He shot 3-for-12 in the opener. I want to say this game he came out there and scored 23 points. 7-for-16 shooting, 4-for-9 from three, 5-for-5 from the free throw line. Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, that was off the top of my head, but I think that's what he had.
You said 7-for-16, 4-of-9, and 5-for-5?
Yeah.
That's 100% right.
What you think about Jalen?
I mean, I don't even think I have to say too much about Jalen no more. I mean, this is what you expect from him. I guess the most impressive part about his game for me was that, like I said, this is the same team that a year ago was trapping us in half court. We couldn't advance the ball past half court. And then, like I said, there was that one game, and I think it was April 9th was the game off the top of my head. I think that was when we played the Raptors.
Was that game on Saturday? Season. Was that a back-to-back, the last two games?
It was a Friday.
It was the 8th.
Okay, so yeah. The season ended on the 9th? Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, on the 10th?
Yeah,
on the 10th. Okay, so it was the 8th, and I know it was one of those 2 days. But, it was – we played, it was a Friday, and I remember that Jalen Green was, like I said, he was on that tear where he was scoring 30 every game, and Nick Nurse stopped him. And we were all pretty mad at Nick Nurse for ruining that streak. I don't know if Jalen had this game scheduled and he was, like, taking it personal or whatever, but, I mean, like I said, this is what I expected from him. I expected him to come out there and be a bucket and to be unguardable. I mean, he had some crazy, like, last-minute bailout shots. In both halves, he was scoring from everywhere. Scotty Barnes, who I think is a pretty good defender. I would say he's actually a really good defender, actually. Cannot hold Jalen Green. It's what you expect from him coming into year two. So I'm not shocked at all. And then I'm going to touch on two things you said before I pass it back about Tari and KJ. Mm-hmm. I think those guys, too, definitely started the show for me. My initial thoughts on KJ Martin's trade request is that if he wants to leave, he can just go. And I think I still feel that way. If he's like, I want out, I don't want to be here, I would let him go. But I think that we have to find a role for him next year. And I think that it's possible. It's going to take some creative thinking from Silas, but I think we can definitely give him some type of role. It may not be the role that he wanted on paper, but it could be a really solid role. Because I saw him do a lot of, like you said, little things that just don't show up in the box score. He had that amazing, leak out pass to Tari in transition. Tari came and dunked it down. Like, he just does a bunch of, he's just active. And you don't have too many guys like that. And I think that, like you said, with him, Jay Shante, Tyrese, and we're going to have, you know, except they may not be able to shoot the ball that well, but they're going to be engaged, active on both ends of the floor. And it's going to give us that edge we need to, you know, compete and win some of these games. And then as far as Tari goes, I mean, I said it last week. It doesn't even make sense how the ball is just magnetically attracted to his hands coming off the glass. It does not make sense. He's able to get – I'm looking up real quick. I want to say he had maybe like three offensive rebounds, two or three.
What, last game he had five?
No, he had five. Yeah, so like that's what I'm saying. Like it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that this guy is able to be in the right place at the right time. And it's not even like this is a fluke anymore, because we saw this – in summer league, we saw this in against the Spurs. We're seeing against the Raptors. It's still a pretty small sample size, and it's just preseason in summer league. But every time we watch Tari Eason hoop, he's finding ways to just get active and engaged in the game. And you hear John Lucas said it. They don't draw plays for him. He scored, was it 21? Was it 21 last game?
24.
24. 20. He scored 24, and not a single play was drawn for him. Yeah. That is insane to get that many points. And not have one play drawn for you, and you're coming off of the bench. It like I said, it's getting to the point now where I'm like, what is going on? It does not make sense how he's able to be in the right place at the right time every single time. So he's another guy who I thought initially coming into this season was going to spend some time in the G League. I'm more like, if he continues this up for these next two preseason games, which I think he will, there's absolutely no way he can go to the G League. No way. There's we have to send somebody else down there, or you know, kick somebody out of the rotation, but Tari Eason has to be a part of the rotation come season start. But go ahead. I know you want to talk about Jalen.
Yeah, before I talk about Jalen, I want to talk about this offensive rebounding. I went back and watched all those offensive rebounding, and that would be the only time I would ever play Deshaun Nix, is because I think he missed around three layups, and Tari was right there for the putback every single time. But I wanted to touch on Deshaun Nix before I get back to Jalen. That's one guy, because I saw you also did bring up the rotation. And this goes into my rotational point that I wanted to bring up. Deshaun Nix looked awful. 1 for 10 from the floor. And the experiment, it just needs to be done. I know they viewed him as a first-round pick. He may have had a good offseason. The potential was there. It looked like he was going to be good coming out of the G League. But, you know, things like that. You know, the G League, sometimes it doesn't transfer, and it hasn't been transferring so far. And I just don't like him playing backup point right now. If it's not him, it's got to be Ty-Ty. And it's not Ty-Ty. I think they should just go positionless basketball for the second unit. Don't even think about it as, you know, backup 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No, just throw your best 10 guys out there. And what that looks like, assuming Eric Gordon stays and starts, which I don't know, because he's been resting two games in a row now. He just got a new agency, right, Will? He just signed with a new agency.
Eric Gordon did?
Yep. Yeah. So I don't know what's going to happen with that. But assuming, I mean, he's here right now, so we're going to assume he starts. The bench unit, in my opinion, you have Josh Christopher, Tari Eason, Jayshon Tate, KJ Martin, and what looks like the backup five right now, Bruno Fernando. Again, that's not a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 kind of lineup, but just however you want to set those rotations and lineups, go ahead. But getting those guys out there, that's the perfect thing. That way, Tari Eason's playing from day one. KJ's playing a lot. And, of course, Jayshon Tate's going to play. I don't need Deshaun Nix out there going 1 for 10 from the floor and missing free throws if he can't convert on the layup. I don't need to see it. It doesn't impress me. It doesn't impress anybody. Just keep him on the roster. If somebody gets hurt, he can come in and play. As for Ty-Ty, I think he can get in there. He looked good last game. I like what I see from Ty-Ty, but that's somebody they're probably going to send to the G League to develop. But that's my takeaway. When you brought up all those Tari Eason rebounds, I just can't help but think of all them times that Deshaun missed and Tari was just right there.
I mean, I think you're underselling it by saying he was awful. He was terrible. Like he was.
You were in person. You saw it in person, so you got a better view than me.
It was. I mean, the thing about Deshaun Nix, and this is something that I didn't like how we used him last season. He's not an off-ball player. We can start there. Deshaun Nix is not somebody you play off ball. He's not really the best shooter. And I'm pretty sure defenses would be perfectly fine if an offensive possession ended with Deshaun Nix shooting the basketball. So he's not really, like, giving you anything off ball. And then on ball, his main go-to is to drive to the rim. And, like, you don't really see him drive and kick anymore. Like, once he puts his head down, he's driving. He's going to take that layup. And he can't finish. He's a point guard who likes to take layups that can't finish. And even if he somehow does finish or gets fouled, he can't make free throws. So
yeah, three for six from the line last game.
I have no, and like I said, I don't think he's even like what I thought Deshaun Nix was when we signed him last year when we played him. I thought he was a pass first point guard. And I think I said this over the summer. That's not who he is. He's a guard who looks to score and will try to pass, but he can't score. That's the problem. He can't score. So I'm with you, Brad. I'm trying to position this basketball off my bench. I'm gonna let Ty Ty get some reps in the G League for the first half of the season, until he's ready for that spot. But as far as that bench unit, give me Tate, KJ, Tari, and I guess we'll let Tate run the point guard. I saw more playmaking from Tate on Friday. That's all. I saw more playmaking from Theo Maledon. I mean, I don't know more playmaking, but I saw more, like, Theo Maledon looked way more impressive in his, what, he played like 5 minutes.
He only played 7 minutes. I pulled up the box score for you.
In 7 minutes, I saw more from Theo Maledon than I saw from Deshaun Nix these last two games. And I'm sorry. At this point, I'm over the Deshaun Nix experiment. I think he has to go. But my fault. I didn't say that. Go ahead, Brad.
Yeah. So, yeah, Deshaun, I heard the Tari offensive rebound. And I immediately thought about Deshaun missing all the times. 1 for 10, 3 for 6 from the free throw line. Well, he had more turnovers than he had more turnovers than assists. Like, it's just all around bad game for him.
Yeah, but, like, I don't even understand. The craziest part is I don't remember when he even got these 4 turnovers. I don't understand how he got that many. I think I saw somebody on Twitter said this might be like the worst point guard play we've ever had, like in the past, like 20 years or so. It was
wow, bro.
It was bad.
We've had some wild point guards, I remember, in that Harden era, but we'll see. We'll see what they do with Deshaun.
40-year-old Jason Terry, man.
Yeah. How about that, man? But outside of Deshaun, going on to Jalen, what I wanted to touch on, Jalen, out the gate, Nick Nurse, that's a hard team to play against. That Raptors team, that's the longest team in the NBA. I want to say NBA University on Twitter touched on it. Wingspan-wise, pretty much everyone over there has a 7-foot wingspan or higher. So it's impressive anytime you have a good game against them. And Jalen, of course, was the focal point. And he came out there and he scored at will. We saw what he was doing at the end of last season. You know, he only played 25 minutes and he still had, 23 points. So, yeah, 4 threes. That's exactly what we were seeing at the end of last year. And Jalen's showing us right now that it's going to translate. And his playmaking has looked a lot better. As Ryan Hollins pointed out on the broadcast, his hands have looked a lot tighter. You know, little things like that, that's just going to make him that much better. He's going to be able to get to a cup a lot better as well with him adding 10 pounds of muscle in the offseason. So, Jalen, I was really impressed with what I saw from him this past week. And KPJ, that's somebody I wanted to touch on. Only had one assist in this past game. But if you go back and watch, you could tell the game is just extremely slowed down for him. And just watching little plays, like there was one play he caught the ball at the three-point line, pumped, brought it into the mid-range, did another pump fake, looked around, see if anybody was open, and then he took the wide-open shot and cashed it. Just little things like that. You know, Kevin is just playing a lot slower. Things that he wasn't doing at the beginning of last season. So I'm really impressed from Kevin Porter Jr. And he had probably close to the play of the night. There's a lot of great plays. There was a KJ Martin fast break dunk, but he had a nice step back that made Will go viral on Twitter. It was a crazy step back. Had this man lost. I think it was Kim Birch was his name.
Yeah, it was Kim
KP. Birch, yeah, KP hit him with a step back, looked at him, and hit the three at the end of the third quarter. That was amazing. But Will, we all know KPJ's your guy, so what do you think about his performance?
I mean, what you said is true. He didn't have that many assists. Mm-hmm. But I think that's the example of, like, you have to watch the game to understand how good he was that night.
Mm-hmm.
If you just look at the box score, because I think he still shot on, like, 40%, if I'm not wrong.
He shot 4 for 10.
4 for 10, yeah, 4 for 10, 1 of 3 from three.
Mm-hmm.
He made his free throws. I mean, 75% isn't the greatest, but after he missed those first two, he made the rest.
Right.
But like I said, if you just look at this box score, 15-5-1, you're like, yeah, that's really nothing too crazy, 40%. But watching the game, he still looks so much more comfortable as a point guard. He had some bonehead mistakes at the very first quarter, and then he kind of a switch flipped in his head, and he went back to like being calm, cool, calm, and collected.
Right.
I think he should have. I'm sure look at what is like potential assists were from that game, because I know for a fact he had so many dimes to like Fernando specifically, and I can't remember if it was Garuba or Favors or whoever was down low. He had so many nice passes to them. I think even KJ missed one where he would find them the ball down low and they weren't able to finish it.
I remember he had a nice, it was on a fast break to KJ. That's the one you're referring to.
Yeah,
KJ
so,
tried to do a reverse. KJ. Yeah, KBJ had a nice pass. He came in with a Euro and he dished it off for a no look. KJ tried to do a reverse.
And that's what I'm saying when I say, like, if you just look at the box score, you're like, oh, that's just one assist. So he was playing. I mean, he had one assist, like, in three turnovers. So, like, oh, he's bad. He's not point guard playing.
Yeah, no.
But, like, if you watch the game, like I said, two of those turnovers came at the very beginning, and they were like bonehead mistakes. That's on KPJ. But after that, like I said, he was finding people. People just weren't able to capitalize. And I think it's been kind of unfortunate that it seemed like he's ready to start to take a playmaking leap, and we don't have that many play finishers. At least that night we did. So maybe when Jabari and Shingun come back, it'll get a little bit better. That's what I saw from KPJ outside of that that insane ankle break you were just talking about.
Yeah, I want to touch on a few more things with this game. One being, well, of course, today at the time that we're recording, the Rockets just signed Willie Cauley-Stein, so that's another big man that they've added to the rotation. The Rockets now have to make two cuts, and there's three guys that we're looking at, probably going to be Garrison Matthews, Boban, and probably Derek Favors. But I wanted to touch on Garrison Matthews. That's why I led up with that point. Garrison, it looks like there's no need for Garrison anymore. You know, I really did like Garrison last season, even though he took a lot of ill-advised threes. I thought he would be vital to this team at certain points and spot minutes just for spacing purposes, just because this team, from what it looked like, was lacking a lot of shooters. So it looked like it was going to be important to play Garrison. Not in the rotation, but, you know, just throw him in there whenever. But he just looks like a guy that there's no need for him. You know, he was getting exposed on defense in his short time out there, 14 minutes, 0 for 3 from 3. And if he's not hitting threes, what is he doing out there? He's one of those players. He's like a Duncan Robinson, a worse Duncan Robinson. But if Duncan's not hitting three, he's going to be getting exposed on defense. And that's sometimes you can't play in the playoffs like that. And that's what we saw for Duncan Robinson last year in the playoffs. You know, Garrison's one of those guys. Again, he's not even as good as Duncan Robinson. I feel like he'll probably end up getting cut. There's no place for him on the roster. At the open practice, it looked like he didn't have any life. He probably knows he's gone, I feel like. I don't know if you saw that as well, Will. I had a view of the players from where I was sitting, and Garrison was kind of just sitting there the entire time like this. You know, he
hasn't played much.
He hasn't, and he knows that too. He probably knows his time is up in Houston. And if he's going to get those limited minutes, you got to come out there and hit your shots, and he's not doing that. So Garrison, I feel like he's out of the rotation. And off of the team, ultimately, especially with this new signing. But, you know, as for that Raptors game, I'm looking down this box score. I feel like I didn't really have anything else to touch on. But I will say this about Bruno Fernando, because the Rockets just signed another big. I like what I've seen from Bruno. In that first quarter, he came out there with 6 rebounds, 2 offensive and 4 defensive. And he finished the game with 10 rebounds. And he just looks like a lot of presence out there. Jalen, I want to say, had a nice alley-oop to him in that last game. Bruno, I did not expect him to come out here and win this backup center job. I wanted to be Usman for the entire offseason. And Bruno has completely changed my mind. He signed that 4-year, $10 million extension. And I'm happy the Rockets did. He looks good. I like the role that he's playing. This team needs a lob threat. And they are benefiting from this lob threat. And he's a good paint presence. And he runs the floor extremely well. Gives me a poor man Clint Capella vibes. And I like what I see. From Bruno. He's cool with me at the back of 5 spot. And Usman, he'll have to earn his minutes. But again, Usman, he's not playing bad basketball. I like what I see from Usman. Will tell you the same thing. You know what to expect when Usman Garuba comes on the floor. He's not going to score a lot of points, but he's going to come out there, sell a lot of screens, get rebounds, and play solid defense and look good in the paint defensively. But Bruno, again, having that lob presence is what's needed for this Rockets team. But Will, what do you think about what I was saying? Who could potentially be cut? It's probably down to Garrison again, Derek Favors, or Boban. But before I'll set the stage for you, you know, Derek Favors does have $10 million, so that's a good tradable asset that could be used. Boban, that's somebody who the Rockets are just going to want to market. And Will would touch on this for the open practice, how he was kind of the star of the show, and then what I said about Garrison already. But what do you think about that?
I'm gonna disagree a little bit. I think Garrison is for sure in the hot seat, and if I was a betting man, I think he's the one that's gonna lose his job.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that Favors or Boban are potentially gonna get cut. I think it's Knicks.
Knicks.
I'll explain. I think that there is no way. We're gonna get into it in the next segment with open practice. there is absolutely no way they're gonna cut the cash cow that is Boban Marjanovic.
I agree.
I went to both preseason games in Houston, the Spurs and the Raptors. Every time the fourth quarter comes around, the entire arena is yelling, "We want Boban." When he gets in the game, it's never been louder. Like if Jalen Green can do a 360 dunk, and it won't be as loud as when Boban gets into the game and just touches the basketball. Not even dunk, he touches it. The crowd starts screaming as loud as I've ever heard Toyota Center this season so far, right? So, yeah, like they're not going to cut Boban. They've marketed him way too much. He's too much of a cash cow. Like I said, we'll get into it with the open practice segment, how much of, like I said, the show was pretty much him. I think he's going to stay. I think that, like you said, Derek Favors is somebody who I think he's a quality vet. I think he still has something left in the tank to give to a team, whether it's the Rockets or somebody else. And then his contract is, it's a really nice tradable asset. We just to have, in the back burner for the deadline. And like I said, I don't know if I said this on the podcast or in a space, but it would not shock me that if at the deadline there's a team out there that has like an expiring salary or wants to maybe pick up both Eric Gordon and Derek Favors. It wouldn't shock me if he's included in some sort of trade for an additional asset. Not necessarily saying a player coming back, but maybe like a second round pick. If we're speaking like pure value for Derek Favors, maybe like a second round pick, which is better than nothing, especially considering we got a second round pick to keep to take on him. So I don't think he's going to go anywhere either, right? And so it comes. Oh, and then you just said Fernando, right? Fernando just got his contract. He's been hooping out of his mind. I was out of his mind, but he's looked really well these last two games. And like you've heard nothing but praise from the organization on him throughout the whole summer. I think his job is safe. So it does, for me, it comes down to Garrison Matthews and Deja Nix. Nix, because he's unlike Bruno Fernando, he's looked awful. And just about every time he's played for the Rockets, I can't think of one game where he's looked good, especially not like summer league or preseason so far. He's looked awful just about every time he's touched the basketball for us. So I think there's that. And then we just drafted Ty Washington, who looks better than him. Let's be honest, in his short minutes, Ty Washington looks better than him. He's a first round pick. And I anticipate that sooner than later, he will have that backup point guard job anyways. So I think Nick's job, I'm not saying he is going to get waived. As a matter of fact, I think I would keep him over Matthews. But I think that it's him or Matthews. And then as for Matthews, we have Tar, we have KJ, we have Gordon, we have Tate. And like Nick's, bro, he was awful on Friday too. Like he was really bad because he's somebody, I think he was 0-for-3. I know he said he got stronger this offseason, like improve his defense. And maybe it's because he was playing against a bunch of 6'8 plus guys and he's like 6'4, 6'5. He could not guard anybody, bro. It didn't matter who he was guarding. He could not guard them. He was the definition of a liability on Friday. So if you're not making your shots, you're a liability on defense, and we already have four other players at your exact position who are better than you, it's going to be tough. So and on top of that, I think unlike Knicks, I think Knicks has potential to be something more, even though I'm not that high on him. I think his potential is still a lot more. I think Matthews is more or less who he is at this point in his career. He's just a role person to give you spot up minutes as a spacer off your bench. So maybe like the Lakers go sign him and he can give them some spot minutes off their bench. But no, I think that he's the one. Assuming a Eric Gordon or KJ Martin trade does not happen, which like Brad touched on, Eric Gordon, he signed with a new agency and he's not playing in preseason anymore. So maybe there's something there. But assuming that does not happen, which I don't think it is, I think it has to be Garrison Matthews.
Yeah. I definitely agree. Garrison, 100%. I like the point that you made about Deja Nix. Could potentially be him. We'll have to see what they end up doing. Last thing I'll touch on before we go to the open practice. Willie Cauley-Stein, that's a guy that's probably just going to go to the Vipers. He'll probably just get waived and ship him off to the Vipers. Bruno, that's the guy back up center. If it's not him, it's got to be Garuba. But Willie, had the best year last year in Dallas. And I don't see a use for him on the main roster. I'd be surprised if he ever did play minutes for us on the main roster. So that's what I had to say about Willie. If you had nothing else to touch on, Will, I'll let you set the stage for the open practice because it was a lot of fun. Got to see everybody. I flew in from Atlanta. First time being at a lot of these guys since the last game of the year in April. So it was a lot of fun seeing everybody.
Was this your first time in Houston since then?
Ooh, let me think. Potentially. No, I'll come down for Labor Day. That was it. outside of that, that was my second time.
Yeah. I mean, like Brad said, open practice was Saturday the 8th. It was a lot of fun. I mean, we met a lot of the people who were, you know, on Rockets Twitter. All the fans came out to support the team, support the players. Jalen commented on it when he took the mic at the end of the practice, but it was definitely a lot more people this year than it was last year. I went to last year's open practice, and it was way more people this year. I would almost say double the amount it was this year than it was last year. So it was a really good turnout. As for, you know, the day itself, like me and Brian kind of been touching on it a little earlier, Boban Marjanovic was he stole the show. He is the fan favorite. He's a definition of the fan favorite. And the Rockets are smart. They recognize that he is this marketable cash cow that he is. And so they had him mic'd up during the scrimmage. I think they let him, you know, address the crowd a couple of times. Whenever he's on the court in that scrimmage, he was, you know, doing alley-oops to other players. I think there was like a possession where he like picked up KPJ and like let KPJ dunk the ball. He's doing his job as the fan favorite for the organization, which is why, like, I think he's just entirely too marketable. I think the diminishing cost of like letting go of a defensive liability like Matthews is worth it if it means we get to keep somebody who's gonna, like, you're gonna have somebody who comes to the other center this season to watch Boban Marjanovic play basketball. That's 100% gonna happen. And every time we blow a team out in the fourth quarter, like if the game's over with in those garbage time minutes, the Toronto is always going to erupt with "We want Boban." It happened already before in the preseason game. It's going to happen in the regular season. It's going to happen every time that we were in that position. He's going to be here, I think, because of that reason alone. But yeah, man, like I said, it was fun. Jabari, we know he missed Friday's game with an ankle injury. I think he's for sure going to miss Monday, and I think he's going to miss Friday against the Pacers too. I think they're going to be cautious with him, keep him out. But the good news is he didn't have a boot on. His leg was fine. He was out there taking warm-up jump shots. Mm-hmm. He didn't participate in the scrimmage. I'm not sure how much of that was by injury or by choice. But yeah, he looked fine to me as far as his ankle goes. I could touch on Deshaun Dix in that open practice, but I don't want to come off as a hater, so I'm going to stay silent. But
In fact, go ahead and touch on Deshaun, since that's another reason we were talking about people getting cut. And I touched on it. I don't know if we talked about. Oh, I did talk about it in this podcast. Yeah, Garrison Matthews was sitting here like this the entire time. Deshaun Dix, go ahead, Will, because you had a better view than I did. But what was he doing?
I mean, I was sitting. I was sitting behind because I don't want to come off as like the Deshaun Dix hater. I just think that he's not what this team needs right now. But I think like a team like San Antonio or Utah that has no aspirations, they should, like, if he does get waived or finds himself off this team, like, they should definitely go take a look at him. Cause I think in a situation where there's less expectations and less people like ahead of him in the depth chart, he can maybe show you something more. But I mean, like, we have KPJ, we have Ty Ty, we have Josh. I saw more from Theo Maledon and Jayshon Tate as far as public can go. So I'm not sure that he necessarily fits in with this team right now. But what Brad was saying, where I was sitting in open practice, I was kind of sitting at the scorer's table where you would like check into the game. And during the scrimmage, like I said, it's kind of silly because it's just a scrimmage, but during the scrimmage, you didn't have to play in that scrimmage, right? So that's first and foremost, like players, you didn't have to play. Eric Gordon didn't play. Like Brad said, Garrison Matthews didn't play. KPJ was not supposed to play. I'm going to explain how he ended up playing, but KPJ was not going to play either. It was just supposed to be like a simple, fun scrimmage, I guess, for like the rookies. And then the fan favorite guys like Boban and Shingun, right? And, you know, of course, Jalen and Josh. But it was just like a fun little scrimmage that no one even took seriously. And the whole time, I'm watching Deshaun Dix, who was a starter for his team in the scrimmage. He stayed in the same spot on the court the entire time. While Jalen and Josh and Shingun are, you know, nobody's running, but, like, everybody's getting back on defense. Everybody's going on offense. Jalen's out there throwing like windmill dunks, and Josh is throwing between the leg alley hoops. Shingun's, you know, catching oops himself. Like, everybody's putting on the show for the fans. Deshaun Dix is just standing there, and I'm like, "All right, bro, like, what are you doing? Because you didn't have to play tonight today if you didn't want to. I'm pretty sure if you just said I don't want to play in this game, like, you could have just sat down. But like, he's just kind of standing there. And like I said, KPJ wasn't even supposed to play. How KPJ gets into the game is KPJ. I don't know if Nix called for a sub or KPJ told him to sit down. KPJ went and subbed in for Nix, and that's how KPJ got into the game, because he subbed in for him. He wasn't supposed to play. So I don't know. It was kind of like frustrating to see, like, man, like, your job, in my opinion, isn't even all that secure. The franchise player is out there throwing down windmills and 360 dunks, and you can't even, like, pretend that you're excited to be here. Like, all right. And, like, that's also what it is. It wasn't just, like, him saying that. It was also, like, the look on his face. You could tell he didn't care. Yeah. The body language. He didn't care. Yeah. He did not care at all about the scrimmage. And I don't want to say he didn't care about the fans, but that's the way it kind of came off, as if I don't even care about. I'm just here because I get paid to be here. And, man, it was tough. But I want to touch on one more thing before I pass it off to you. Speaking on, like I said, the franchise player and, you know, just getting paid to be here. After the open practice is over with, after the scrimmage, they broke the players up into different sections. And they had them signing autographs, signing T-shirts, signing, you know, pictures or whatever item you wanted that player to sign, you could get it signed from them. And I think they had all the players out there for maybe like 30 minutes, 40 minutes. After that time was up, the Rockets came and told them, like, hey, you guys can, you know, go get changed. You know, just, you're done for the day, right? So, you know, everybody gets them leave. Shingun, KPJ, Boban, Tar, like, all the guys, they get up and leave. The two guys who stayed on the court to keep signing signatures were Jalen Green and Josh Christopher. They stayed longer than any other player did on this roster to make sure everybody who was in line got their signatures. Everybody got, you know, you couldn't take a picture with them. You could take a picture of them, make sure everybody got their pictures. And you can truly tell, like I said, unlike other guy, Jalen Green and Josh Christopher care about their fans. They care very much about Houston and us as fans and how much we enjoy the on-court product itself. Because, you know, we're not going to win that many games, or we're not supposed to win that many games this year. We didn't win that many last year. We're not going to be this great team. So, like, you know, it's fun to just be a fan favorite for now, right? Like, you just give the fans a reason to be excited about this team and about the city, you know, during this rebuilding time. And Jalen, the franchise player, the guy who above anybody else could easily be like, I'm too good for this. I can just go back to the locker room now. My time is up. Like I said, during the scrimmage, he was more than anybody running up and down the court, doing the dunks, you know, Seth Ali's, all that good stuff, making everybody in the crowd excited for the season. And then, like I said, after the game was over with, he stayed away after the game longer than anybody else. And him and Josh just signed his signatures. And so that's what you like to see from your franchise player.
Yeah, that was going to be the first thing I touched on with this, you know, open practice. I was really happy to see Jalen and Josh stay afterwards. It shows their commitment to the fans, to the team, the organization, and being in Houston long term. So I'm happy to touch on that, Will. But as for that open practice, yeah, scrimmage was a lot of fun. Jalen threw down a really nice between the legs windmill from Josh Christopher that was reminiscent of Jamal Crawford to Blake Griffin way back in the day. So that was fun to see. KJ had a really nice alley-oop off the glass between the legs. Boban had a dunk where he grabbed the rim and was standing on the ground while he dunked it. That was cool. A few highlight moments. Jabari was, you know, signing stuff for the fans, dapping everybody up. So that was really cool. KJ was also doing the same, which is good to see. Again, KJ, a guy who is speculated to want to trade, doesn't have enough minutes.
Just on one thing real quick, Brad. One thing, I'll let you go, I promise. Go ahead. The last thing I want to say about the Knicks stuff, you would swear he was the one who demanded a trade by the way he was acting. Yeah. The way you would think KJ Martin would act in a scrimmage for a team he didn't want to play on, that is the way Knicks was acting. So just to illustrate once again why I was kind of like, well, why are you acting like this, bro? You know what I'm saying? Because, yeah, you'd have to play in a game. So, imagine a disgruntled KJ Martin. And that's how Knicks was playing. Like Brad said, KJ Martin was still out, even though he's allegedly wants off the team. He was out there giving the fans what they wanted as far as open practice goes. So I'm sorry, go ahead, Brad.
Yeah, you're good. Yeah, KJ was out there laughing, smiling, dapping people up. I got a fist bump from him. He was really cool. Doesn't look like a guy who wants to trade. He's gonna get those minutes that he wants. It looks like, especially in this upcoming game, and that was gonna be my transition. If you had nothing else to touch on with the open practice, Will, going into this next game, it's been announced already. Again, Jabari's not going to be playing. So it looks like KJ is probably going to fill in for or Tate's going to fill in for Jabari. And then you're going to have who we were just talking about, KJ Martin. He's going to be filling in for Eric Gordon, who's going to be resting again today. So I'm excited to see KJ get another stint and having a lot of minutes. Again, he leads the team right now in minutes played in the preseason. And I'm excited to watch him play next to Alperen Şengün, because last year, I feel like they had the best connection on the team from two teammates. anytime that Şengün was, you know, on the floor, KJ's always cutting and finding him in his spots. Now, I will say, not all of KJ definitely blew a few Şengün dimes from last season, but they still had the best chemistry on the team. So that's going to be fun to watch. Even back to this last game, Will, the very end of the game, they gave the ball to Bruno for the end at the top of the key, found KJ Martin on the cut. That was Bruno's only assist in the game. It was a nice pass. Bruno's only assist in the game. Now, LP is going to have those opportunities the entire game that they're on the floor together. So that's going to be fun. That's something to watch out for, that Şengün and KJ connection. You know, that's a team. A team like the Raptors, they are very, very, you know, intense on defense. So that's going to be another test for the Rockets. I thought the Raptors would be a test. They came out there and looked really impressive in the first half. So the Heat, that's going to be a tough battle. If they could go out there and show that they're, you know, they can fight on the court with these competitive teams, and that night without their first overall pick, Jabari, then this Rockets team is going to be extremely fun to watch. I already believe that they're going to be extremely fun to watch. But if they come out there competitive against the Heat and they have a unit that they're going to throw out there in the starting in the season opener, or, you know, for the regular season, then this Rockets team is going to be a really fun team. It's a team that's looking the right direction, and the team that's going to be competitive, not this year, but that year afterwards. They can be competitive this year and still have more losses than wins. But when I say, you know, competitive, that's a team that's going to, it's been two preseason games. I don't want to just say, oh, this team could mess around and make the play-in. I can't say that just yet, but I've loved everything that I've saw from the Rockets so far. 2-0, two blowout wins, 16 points and 38 points. Will, we talked about it last time. I don't know the last time the Rockets won a game by 38 points. I don't know the last time the Rockets won two games in a row by 15 points. Yeah, we'll probably have to go back a little further for that.
Yeah, we'll have to do some digging for that one.
Yeah, we'd have to dig for that one. We might not be able to find that in this podcast. Yeah. But, yeah, man, they look good. So I'm excited to see how they look against the Heat on Monday. But, yeah, Will, what are your thoughts about the upcoming game?
So I don't know how – remember, I'm going to have to look it up, what Miami's been running.
Let's do it right now. Let's check it out.
Yeah, okay. So on Friday they played the Grizzlies, and their starters is a bunch of poo-poo.
So they're not even playing Jimmy or anybody, are they?
No, it was Gabe Vincent. These guys, Marcus Garrett.
They're probably playing
Orlando Robinson, Duncan Robinson, and Haywood Highsmith. Yeah, a bunch of nobodies. That was their starting five. So, I was hoping that we were gonna play at least see that Miami team. Like, I don't know if you guys remember, but like, we played them in preseason last year, and Jalen looked lost when Jimmy was on him, and when Jimmy was like backing Jalen. I still really vividly remember Jalen Green like being complete food for Jimmy Butler that game. So I was kind of interested to see how, you know, like how much a year makes a difference for Jimmy. So how he looked against the Raptors and how they did him last season. So it's gonna be interesting to kind of see how he came out against them. But yeah, it's looking like I didn't even know this until this is the very moment, but it's looking like that Miami's probably not gonna take that game seriously. They could, but if their rotation from Friday is any indication, they're not planning to. Which, if that's the case, we should blow them out again, like this. We get the Spurs. This should be another Spurs game where we beat them by 20 plus points. If that's the case, which it's looking like it's going to be. I think the Rockets are still going to be treating preseason with caution, even not playing starters in the fourth quarter. But I think for those first three quarters, we're going to see Jalen, KPJ, Şengün, Tate, Tari, KJ, you know, guys like that, Josh. I think they're still going to get a lot of minutes, Fernando. And yeah, I want to see if that's the case. We're not going to be resting anybody else. We're going to actually take it seriously ourselves. Let's blow them out. Beat them by 20 again. And then touch on what you said, Brad, about expectations for this season and the playing tournament and whatnot. There was a lot of conversation this week. You know, we saw Scoop Henderson and Victor Wembanyama play each other. There was a lot of conversation about like tanking, and I saw a lot of Rockets fans saying things like, we need to tank this year. And I was kind of like the voice of reason of like, let's relax, guys, like we're gonna be bad anyways this year. We don't gotta tank because we're gonna, you know, we're, I think Vegas has us winning like 23 and a half games. We've been the worst team in the league for the last two seasons. I didn't think we were gonna take a huge leap. Let me preface it. Once again, it is still preseason, and I need to see this team in the regular season. But like I said, last time against the Spurs, I'll say it again for this Raptors game, what I predict is going to happen tomorrow against the Heat. This team does not know they're supposed to be bad. They think that they're – and that's what you want to see from your team. But they think they're a great basketball club, and they're hungry, and they want to win these games. Mm-hmm. And it's just preseason. But like I said, we whooped up on the Spurs, which is what we were supposed to do, right? Like, we were supposed to beat them by 20. So I think the fact we beat them by almost 40 is, like, pretty telling in and of itself. We weren't really supposed to go to beat the Raptors. We that was a blowout, I guess you could say. Like, 16 was a blowout. If we come out and blow up the Heat, and then, you know, depending on what we do against the Pacers, and then, like I said, if they take us into the regular season against the Hawks and the Grizzlies, I think those are two really good playoff teams. Those are going to be quick tests right in there to see if this is legit or if it's just preseason, you know, hype. But if they look like they belong in those two games or, like, mess around and win one or both of them, mm-hmm. All right, well, we can start having that conversation about the play-in tournament because this team looks like they're ready to be there. But like I said, that's yet to be determined. We still got to wait for the regular season to come around. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now on tomorrow's game and, you know, when the season starts back up.
One last thing I'll add for this podcast. The Rockets, if they want to go out there and be competitive, say go 38. I'll be optimistic. 38-44. Say they want to go out there and do that. That's a team that's probably going to be still one of the 10.
It's playing tournament, though.
Playing tournament. Okay, I'll do worse.
Yeah, that would be playing for sure.
Let's say like 34-48, I think.
That's the thing about me playing it. 34-50. The reason I say that is right. Playing last year was 35. Playing the West was 35 last year.
I think the West is going to be a lot more competitive this year, though, we'll say.
I think it may not be. And that's why I think that we're going to see some teams start doing some shameless taking from Victor Wembanyama.
And that's why I think some of those teams in the upper half are going to have a better record.
I agree with that, too. I'm just saying, I think that if the Rockets are not one of those teams that says we care about Wembanyama, we're just going to win every single game, they're going to get some games that they weren't supposed to get because the team they're playing that night does not care. So, like, and that's what I'm trying to say is I think that because there's going to be that many teams that are going to be shamelessly tanking for him, 35, again, might be enough to get you to that playing tournament, like, just off the strength of how bad teams are going to want to be this year. So, that's all I would say. 35 might be the number.
Well, I'll say this. I was looking at the lottery odds, right? And the very first year, I want to say this lottery system broke out, the Pelicans got Zion. They were the seventh worst team in the NBA. And if you look at the lottery system, teams that are, let's count it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, teams that are 7th through 9th. So the Rockets end up with the 7th or 9th worst record in the NBA. They both have a 6% chance to get the first pick in the draft. So any one of those three teams all had a 6% chance to get Zion, and the Pelicans got him. So it doesn't matter how bad you are. This lottery system has shown the Rockets the last 2 years were the worst team in the NBA. They never got the first pick. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I feel like they reward teams, and it's probably not true, but they probably reward teams that don't go out there and tank. That's what I personally believe. So the Rockets go out there, and they're not the worst team in the NBA, and maybe not even the 5th worst team in the NBA, but say like a team like the 7th, 8th, or 9th worst team in the NBA. That would be something I'd be okay with, regardless of where they pick. Because that shows that they've made progression. The young team is improving together. The chemistry is looking a lot better. And they could still have a chance at the top pick. They'd still have a 12% chance to get Victor or Scoot. So, and this draft class is way deeper than just Victor and Scoot. I just want everybody to know that that's still listening. There's a lot of special players in this draft class. We're going to see that as the season goes on and throughout the college basketball season. Cam Whitmore, keep an eye on him. He's going to be out with a little thumb injury, minor. But that's a guy I feel like that could be a Houston Rockets jersey next year. But that's it for me on this podcast. Will, if you had anything else to add.
I did some quick research to try to find the last time we won two consecutive games by 15 or more. And so, like, I didn't get to do too much research, but it's actually – so I didn't get to do too much research, so I don't know the last time we've won two back-to-back games by 15 or more. But last season I'm tripping. No, it was last season. I'm blind. I just didn't read this graph right. No, it was literally last season. We did it last season. We won two games by 15 or more.
And in the six-game win streak?
No, I was guess, because as a matter of fact, now that I look back, I'm like, yeah, I should have guessed this. Without looking it up, guess what two games it was. Like, it's when if you don't guess when I tell you what it is, you're gonna be like, that was obvious.
Did they play OKC twice or something like that?
They went in OKC.
They played two bad teams in a row.
Guess one more time, then I'll give you a hint. just guess.
I'll assume when I
give you the hint, you're gonna get it. That's what I'm saying. When I give you this hint, you're gonna get it. But yeah, guess one more time.
I'm blanking. Oh my goodness. They didn't beat.
You're gonna feel so stupid, but I tell you. Go ahead.
Oh no, Brooklyn. Was it one of them? All right, go ahead. Talk to me. Talk to
I'll
me.
Give it. I'll give you the hint. It was the same team.
That was my assumption. It was gonna be the same team.
It was the same.
They played back to back. I'm blanking for real. Was it in a six-game win streak?
No, I'll give you. I'll give you another hint. It was first game of the season. It was.
It was
March.
A what?
Towards the end of the season in March of 2022.
Oh, I feel dumb. Just tell me, because I'm not gonna get it.
It was the Blazers.
Oh,
I knew you was gonna feel stupid. I knew you was gonna feel stupid. I should have guessed it myself. Yeah. We beat the Blazers 125-106 on March 25th, 2022, and then we beat the Blazers the next day on March 26th, 2022 by 115-98. So there was 19 points and 17 points. Yeah, I don't know how I remember that myself.
those were Jalen breakout games. And then Shangoon had a 27-point game in there too. I remember that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I forgot it too. It didn't register me until I looked it up. We had two back-to-back games of 15 or more just last season. So, interesting.
Yeah. The Rockets out here winning games in the preseason. We're comparing it to some regular season games. Hopefully they come out here and actually – go ahead.
I was like, to be fair, that Blazers team we played was
– that was a G League team.
League team. So, like, it was kind of the same intensity of a preseason game anyway. Yeah. So.
But, yeah, that – yep. Yeah, nothing else to add for this pod. Yeah. Again, as always, guys, subscribe to the channel if you're still listening. We really appreciate you guys. New channel still, and we're going to start uploading some YouTube shorts, highlights from the podcast. So, again, we always appreciate you for listening. But as for myself, you can always find me at BradderNBA on Instagram and Twitter. That's where you can find me, all your favorite stats, highlights, anything like that. But, Will, I'll pass it off to you.
Yeah. Thank you guys again for listening and checking in with us on every Monday. Like Brad said, we appreciate you guys subscribing. Leaving comments, liking the video, giving us some feedback on what we can do to improve the show. I really appreciate that. But as always, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Bias Houston. Like I said, we're starting to get back into the swing of things with the season coming back for the Rockets. So we really appreciate you guys supporting us on that front as well. Tap in with Brido and Will on Instagram and Twitter. Like I said, we just made a TikTok the other day. I believe we uploaded a video on there, right?
We made the YouTube short.
Okay.
Oh, we did. No, we did upload the TikTok.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay. There's a TikTok on there now. So same at Brido and Will.
Yeah.
If you're on TikTok, check in over there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, thank you guys for supporting the show. Thank you guys for supporting the podcast. Without further ado, that's gonna do it for today's episode. We'll see you guys next Monday.
All right. See you guys.